Welcome to ACC Nation. On board, Will Ogenen, Xavion, and I'm Jim Quist. On this episode, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Opening weekend of ACC Nation football began Thursday with an OT win by Wake in the Big Easy against Tulane, and ended Monday night with a surprisingly stout defensive performance by Virginia Tech and Florida State looking for some offensive spark. Let's get some takeaways from key games, NC State and James Madison. Will, I'll start with you.
Well, we were saying going into this game that this was going to be no FBS FCS pushover. You know, JMU came into the game ranked number 2 in the FCS polls, and they played like a team who definitely belonged. You know, if you watch the game, which I certainly watched a decent amount of it, you saw some former ACC players on the field for that game. You know, Ben DiNucci, the former starter at Pitt. I know somebody, I forget his name, he used to play at Georgia Tech. There was a former Virginia wide receiver on JMU's roster. So they had some talent, and they definitely were game. Ryan Finley was himself, threw for over 300 yards. It was a downright good ball game, all things considered. And it was a little bit closer than the final score indicated. NC State scored a late touchdown to ice the game. But that was actually quite a good ball game.
Yeah, I'm right there with Will. It was a very good ball game. Both teams played excellent and a lot of back and forth. They both each had a turnover, so nobody really won that matchup. James Madison did outrush NC State, though, 163 yards to 83. So I like to see the Wolfpack going forward get that at least over 100, 125 yards a game to be a little bit more consistent. But overall, it was a great game by both teams, and flip my hat to NC State for pulling it out.
Seems to me like we've all talked about there was a question mark surrounding the running backs at NC State. So that is an issue that they're going to have to resolve. They've got a great quarterback back there, but they need somebody who can hit the ground and take it on down the field. So we'll see what happens next week. North Carolina and California. Xavion, we'll start with you.
Oh, this was another great game. The game was much closer than, one touchdown score game, but the game was even closer than that, in my opinion. I have to bring attention to the special teams play where the guy from North Carolina literally trucked the returner and had him flipping doing a somersault in the air, which was a great play. Just had to bring some attention to that. But overall, it was a great game. Defense really came through from North Carolina, even though they didn't end up on the winning side. It's a pretty surprising outcome, in my opinion. I thought this would be a little bit more of a blowout since they played each other last year and Cal is returning a lot of players. But defensively, on the side of the ball for North Carolina, Carney had a great game. 8 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for a loss. He was causing havoc from the outside, but constantly bringing pressure from the outside. So it was a great game overall for North Carolina. Hopefully, they have something to build off of once they get some more players come back off of the suspensions.
Well, yeah, Xavion touched on the thing I took away, and I have no idea how good Cal's going to be this year, but I thought UNC's defense was actually quite good in this game. You know, I mentioned it. They held Cal to under 300 total yards, but what really stung him was Nathan Elliott throwing 4 interceptions. He looked kind of lost out there in some instances, and he did lead the team with 58 yards rushing, but he struggled all day. You know, four interceptions, and that was very costly in a 1-score game.
Well, I can tell you this, where North Carolina is located in our ACC Nation power poll, very misleading based upon this game. Let's go to our next game. It's Virginia and Richmond, and Will, we'll stick with you.
Yeah, I'm quite impressed with the way Virginia played against Richmond. I know after that opening drive pick 6 by Richmond, the self-spook of Virginia fans was in play, but it went right around, and Bryce Perkins had about as effortless a 40-yard touchdown run as I've seen. He went over 100 yards. Jordan Ellis went over 100 yards. First time Virginia had 200-yard rushers since 2013 against VMI, which actually ended up being my first Virginia game that I had attended. So I was there for that. Definitely impressed with the way they ran the ball on the ground. I do have concerns with pass protection with Virginia. They tended to to let Perkins, he got hit quite a bit. I know he gave up a couple of sacks. He got hurried a lot, one which led to that first pick six I mentioned. He had a couple of guys wide open on the play, but because of the pressure, he had to get rid of it quick, and it ended up being an interception. But I'm interested to see what this team does against Indiana next week.
Yeah, Virginia definitely opened my eyes a little bit. Like Will said, that opening interception that's on the highlights kind of led me to like, oh no, here we go again with UVA football. But they definitely were able to turn around with strong defensive play, and the play of Perkins definitely outshined them on offense. The one thing I do worry about when it comes to Perkins, though, is he seems like a straight line runner. If you want to go 0 to 60 going straight, he's probably the best to do it on the team. But if you're throwing bodies at him and causing him to have to be shifty and whatnot, he doesn't seem to have that shiftiness or elusiveness. You'd want out of a running quarterback. But overall, if they keep having 200-yard runners every game, we can be talking about them being definitely considered for potentially the ACC dark horse, or maybe the championship if they can pull out some wins by playing ball control. The sky's the limit with UVA at this point from what I saw in the game against Richmond. So we'll have to see.
Nothing like a guy who's more than a glass half full and looking at it as being a glass and a half there. Xavion, will stick with you, and we'll look at this Miami and LSU game. Ooh.
Yeah. So prior to Malik Rozier being the Malik Rozier of the latter part of last year, this was a very close game that, honestly, either or team, if you had just been watching highlights or watching just the stats, you wouldn't be able to tell who was actually winning. The LSU had that big long touchdown run, but other than that, they were pretty much bottled up for the majority of the game. Take away that 50-yard run, they only had 106 rushing yards on 40 carries, which is damn near horrendous. So they weren't really running the ball all to that successful. It's really where the turnovers killed Miami, in my opinion. And if they had a halfway decent quarterback, when I say halfway decent, someone that can complete 50% of their passes, not below 50%, this receiving core, especially I think it's Jeff Thomas, they would be lighting up the scoreboard all day long. Jeff Thomas, to me, made some outstanding plays that if he had, like I said, a halfway decent quarterback, he would be on All-American list after the first game from what I saw.
Yeah, it would have been a good opportunity to bring in the backup for some snaps, but oh, he was suspended for the game. Oh,
oh man.
If you look at the stats, like Xavier mentioned, you know, Miami actually outgained LSU, but you know, Malik Rozier was Malik Rozier of the last three games of last year, especially. Looked completely lost. You know, they turned it over a couple of times, and they had a lot of issues on offense. 15 of 35. He just couldn't find his receivers. And you know, the funny thing is when they did, you know, they were actually getting something out of it. But those completions seemed few and far between. And you know, there was a point where, you know, they did get it to 33-17 with a little under 9 minutes left, and you started to wonder, you know, maybe LSU was starting to let Miami back in this game, and then Malik Rozier, and that pretty much ended it. I will say I still think Miami is better than this. I still might think they're the still going to be the favorite in the Coastal, but you know, we'll see what happens. We're going to get into another team here in a bit, but yeah, I'm still might lean with them as the Coastal favorite.
All right, quick question for both of you. Yes or no? Is he going to be on the bench the next game?
In the future, but not the near future, not the next game.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he'll be on the bench the next game, but that's because they're going to be up like 49-0 in the second quarter, and there's no point in him playing.
Okay. All right, let's move on to this next one. And Will, we'll stick with you on that one. Virginia Tech and Florida State, another. Ooh.
My thoughts in this game are all over the place. Virginia Tech certainly looked really good. I will caution you about how great they were on defense, because Florida State's offensive line looked atrocious. They had a whole lot of trouble protecting Francois, and I don't think it was just because of the Virginia Tech defense line. I think they just flat out suck. This was an issue last year, and it looks like it's continuing to be an issue. But I also think if you're an FSU fan, you need to give Willie Taggart some time, because it takes a little while to make chicken salad out of you know what. But I will also say one of the statistical anomalies out of this game was there were 6 fumbles. Virginia Tech recovered all 6. That's one of those weird statistical anomalies. It's not going to happen again. Definitely be excited if you're a Virginia Tech fan, what you saw on offense, especially at the running back position, because I have so many issues in the past of having a consistent runner. But I was very impressed with the way they ran the ball, especially in Deshaun McLeese. Jackson looked pretty good passing the ball too. But, you know, I caution everyone trying to make assumptions about Virginia Tech as this you know kind of quote unquote back again. Let's pump the brakes a little bit on that.
I'm right there with Will on basically everything he mentioned. The offensive line for Florida State was beyond atrocious. It was absolute trash in my opinion. Francois, you could see early on in the game, if he was getting the ball out so quickly, those were going to be sacks or at least quarterback hits and whatnot on him. So hats off to him for getting ready to deal with a pretty bad offensive line for the next couple of weeks. Cam Akers basically didn't show up except for one play last night from what I saw. Again, I watched a little bit of the first half. I watched the second quarter, and then I saw highlights. And even while I was watching the highlights, I was just wondering where Cam Akers was until that one long 85-yard play. And then later on, he reminded me where he was when he fumbled the ball on the weird trickery play that they were trying to run, which I thought was a little unnecessary, just because every time they try to do some special reverse or trick play, they seem to fumble the ball and turn it over. So hopefully going forward, Florida State learns to not do that consistently. And on defense, they did an all right job. They definitely had a lot of pressure and a couple of sacks on Virginia Tech. But you got to really tip your hat off to Virginia Tech more than anything, because they went on the road and they performed to the level that they needed to perform at to get the W. So hats off to Hokies, and hopefully let's carry on through the season.
Any comments on other games that we haven't touched on?
Clemson looks like it's going to be the monster of the ACC once again.
I will say, watch out for Boston College. I know it was UMass, but especially with the way Anthony Brown was throwing the ball, maybe he's turned that corner, and maybe we need to take him a little bit more seriously. I would also add in, Syracuse looks like it has no defense again. They allowed 621 yards to Western Michigan in their 55-42 win.
Yeeks.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I second that Boston College point, because when you play crappy teams, or not crappy teams, but not as good teams as UMass, and you're able to throw the ball to the success that they have, that's when they get in conference play and he's able to unconsciously just sling that ball around, that's going to be scary for opposing teams already having to worry about A.J. Dillon in the backfield.
Always takes 3 games, guys, before we really have a good feel for where teams are and where they're headed for the season. So, you know, preseason polls and everything else, just toss them out the window. They're fun to look at, fun to talk about. But 3 games, and we start out with where we were this week, settles down, they make adjustments, they have another game. Sometimes it's a cupcake. Then you get into some real football where they have to work at it. And we'll find out for sure after 3 weeks where all these teams are. Hey, this is my message to you if you're a meatball. Enough. Coming out on social media, calling for the heads of Mark, Rick, and Willie Taggart after 1 game. There's something fundamentally, and emphasis on mentally, wrong with you. Stop it. ACC Nation Power Poll Top 5. Clemson, Virginia Tech, Boston College, Miami, Florida State. You can check out the entire story at accnation.net. The AP Top 25. Big moves by Notre Dame after knocking off Michigan. In all seriousness, how long before Harbaugh is looking for a job, guys? Any thoughts on that?
I don't know if it's going to if he's going to be on the hot seat after this year unless they don't make a bowl. But yeah, he's recruiting too well, and I feel like yeah, it goes back to the old saying, okay, who can you find better to replace? It's going to be awful hard to get some people, you know, get somebody up there unless they find like a true Michigan man, which they seem to want to have all the time.
I don't see it happening until probably the end of the season, and they would have to perform below expectations, and we shall see.
We shall. Virginia Tech, a big move up in the AP Top 25. Miami tumbles. Florida State drops out. Boston College is on the rise. Check out the entire AP Top 25 at accnation.net. Let's talk about the ACC Nation Power Poll. Our top five. What I like about this, nobody sees eye to eye on anything except Clemson. The rest, well, strangely enough, it all comes out in the wash. Top five. Clemson, let's get some takes on Clemson. Xavion.
I mean, a monster. Offense, defense, they're able to throw two quarterbacks on you that both can pass the ball. Both can run a little bit, but Bryant's definitely the better, more athletic runner. They have multiple weapons on the outside and in the backfield. Offensive line plays great. Defensive line was scary last year, and then they brought everybody back and added some more pieces to make it even more scarier. Clemson is just an absolute monster, in my opinion.
Yeah, they did what they needed to do in their opening game against Furman, and they're still the best team in the league, and it's hard for us to disagree on that, really.
So they're headed to Texas A&M this weekend. That should be a fun game. Next up is Virginia Tech. Will, thoughts on their overall performance and where they are now. You mentioned earlier that don't get oversold on them being the new division leader.
Yeah, I'll cop to it. I'm pretty much the reason they are in a tie for second with Boston College because I do not put them up that high, and I don't personally like to move my rankings too much so early in the season just to overreact off of one game. They definitely looked really good on offensively. They had a lot going their way, and with what happened to Miami, for example, yeah, they deserve to be, and obviously Florida State was at them. They deserve to be ahead of them in the rankings right now.
Yeah, I put them up, I believe, at number two based purely off of performance when against teams I had ranked higher than them going into the season. And then throw in Miami's performance that you have to move Miami down after that performance. It's basically performance-based for me right now. And like you said earlier, about 3 weeks is where we're going to really see where some of these teams are going forward.
Just as a disclaimer, looking at the adjustments on numbers and seeing where everybody moved in, up and down, really, there were only a couple of anomalies. Virginia Tech was one of the anomalies. They actually moved up four spots. That's the largest movement of any team in that power poll. Other than that, we had a couple of threes, and that was up and down. The rest, everybody else pretty much was a one or a two, which is, I think, very much in line with where, the movement should be. So I'm not so sure that you threw anything into that, Will, that would have changed it that much one way or the other. Let's go on to the team that is tied at number two, and that is Boston College. Xavion, tell me a little bit more about this team. I'm very excited about what I'm seeing.
First, I should probably just say AJ Dillon, and that kind of ends the conversation usually coming into the season. But like Will mentioned before, Brown was throwing that rock around to everybody and making touchdown pass after touchdown pass. And I didn't see him necessarily run the ball too much, but I think he can also do damage with his feet. So he's a two-headed monster. And then combine that with AJ Dillon, and they do have a couple of weapons on the outside. And defensively, I think they return a veteran-led group and whatnot. So they have all the pieces to make a nice run in the ACC or make more games competitive against some of these bigger name programs and whatnot. So that I kind of liked what I saw from Boston College overall They're dominant and very efficient with the football. So it's a good way to start the season, in my opinion.
Something I forgot to mention talking about Boston College earlier is A.J. Dillon is now pass catcher. Didn't catch a pass last season. Caught two against UMass, one of them going for a touchdown. That's another dimension to his game that is just going to make him even more dangerous and makes his Boston College, you know, offense even more dangerous. And, you know, this is, like I say, this is a team we need to be on the watch out for even more, because I think they have a shot of being 5-0 heading into their NC State game on October 6th.
So, Will, we'll stick with you at number four. It's Miami. Let's look at them critically for just a moment. Forget about what happened this weekend. Let's look at where they're going forward.
Yeah, you look at, they have a pretty easy opponent, Savannah State, coming up this week. But back early in the summer, I had mentioned some, you know, games that I'm going to be rather intrigued by, and that'll be their matchup in 2 weeks when they travel to Toledo. And obviously, you know, Toledo isn't, I don't think, is quite as good this year, but you never know. On the road, things can change. But I still think that as far as, I think it's going to take some more for Malik Rozier to get benched. I think he's going to have to really stink it up next week and probably the following week before Perry he'll get thrown into the game. But you know, they're like I say, they're still probably the most talented team in the Coastal, and I still think they're the favorite until I see something different.
Savion, let's look at Miami moving forward and forget about what happened this weekend, because the rest of the season is in front of us.
Just like Will says, they still have the opportunity to be the second best team in the ACC. I mean, of course, behind Clemson, but it's really dependent on Malik Rozier's play. If he can't be half decent, you're going to be struggling and having a lot of games like we saw against LSU, against the quality opponents that they're going to face over the season. Honestly, of the five teams we have in the top five for the polls, you can make an argument that I would prefer to have any of those other quarterbacks in the top five than having Malik Rozier at this point. And this is based off of his past performance and what he did going into the end of last season. And this isn't just based off of this past weekend's game. It's all about consistency, and he's shown a lack thereof so far when it matters most. So hopefully he's able to turn it around, because like you just said, the rest of the season is still on the horizon.
We've all seen quarterbacks like this before, where they really don't have the ability to throw deep. I think that he is best suited for doing that 10 to 20 yard strike. And if they could adjust their offense around that a little bit more, I don't think it would wear his arm out quite as quickly. It's like toward the end of the game, his arm starts looking like a wet noodle. I mean, he just doesn't have what it takes. And you know, some people are like that. I can't say that, you know, I wouldn't get out on that field, because I don't want to get mowed down. It'd be one hit and that'd be it. A one-hit wonder. That would be me. But, you know, some guys, and I mean, some great quarterbacks have had this problem, even in the NFL. You just get so many repetitions, and your arm, you start losing strength, and it's just not there. And I think he's one of those guys. I think he can perform on a lot of other levels, but if I were the offensive coordinator, I would be working him 10 to 20 yards. That's it. I wouldn't be going for those long shots downfield, even though he got close to a couple of them, and I think he might have hit a few, but the percentages are so low with him. Let's go on, Xavion, to number five. It's Florida State.
Yeah, this was, again, based off their recent performance. And like Will said earlier, we really have to give Willie Taggart some time to get this program. He needs to get the players that he wants in and going. And I think by building the offensive line moving forward, they'll return to some level of dominance. But as of right now, it's kind of looking like a sinking ship. And this is only after the first game, of course. But it's based off the performance, it's not looking too good right now, in my opinion, for Florida State. Not as bad as last year, but not much better, in my opinion.
One thing we also need to remember about DeAndre Francois is, you know, this is his first game off of torn ACL. It takes a little while to get back, you know, into the flow of things after something like that, not playing for a full year. I thought he did all right given the circumstances, but, you know, as time goes on, I think he'll do better. The question is, can the offensive line, you know, improve enough that he will have time to make throws? And will they be able to open up more holes for Cam Akers and Jacquez Patrick to get through? That's going to be the big question going forward.
And finally, anything that you guys want to address that from a team standpoint or otherwise that occurred this weekend?
Impressed with Duke. Daniel Jones had a strong game in the air. Really liked what they did there. I think the most surprising part of that game was Army threw, I think it was 21 passes, and I was really shocked that they even threw. You know, that's not their normal bit. They don't throw more than a couple of times a game, and I would be interested to see when the last time they threw that many passes in a game was. I mean, you go back. Last year they threw 65 pass attempts all season, and they threw 21 in one game.
Well, I wonder if they were attacking a specific perceived weakness.
Well, it didn't work.
That's all that matters. Well, you can take a look at the complete list of the ACC Nation Power Poll and more at accnation.net. While you're there, be sure to look up this week's schedule, too, because there's a lot of exciting games. They're all on Saturday, by the way. We'll be back to regular schedule. Be sure to check the guys out on Twitter, Will's World, MN, Xavion at XAYVEON, and I'm at ACC The Q. On Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube, we're at ACC Nation. On Facebook, ACC Nation Sports. And until next time.